strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. I'm seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. If you know the chorus, sing it out. Jesus, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. I know you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And I'm seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, worthy is your name. Say that again. Jesus, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, oh Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Say that again, worthy is your name, worthy is your name. One more time, worthy
name. Well, good morning. I'm going to make announcements really quick, all the 17, 20 announcements that I'll make, because I want to make sure I give Brother Jay all the time he needs up here. So, here we go. Tonight, there's banana pudding in the cafeteria after the meeting. Tonight is youth night. Make sure you are here. We'll hear from Reverend Andrew Newberry. And KMBC will be in concert tonight and leading us in worship. Let's stand and we will open up this morning's service. No, really, let's stand up. Father God, thank you so much for another day we come and glorify you. Father, I pray that even though camp is winding down, that our attention to you and our acknowledging your presence and soul searching and whatever you have in store, Lord, I pray that that doesn't wind down, that we continue to lean in. Be with us through the rest of today. Lord, accept our praise and worship as glory unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, remain standing if you would. I just got word that Miss Carol is not going to be able to make it this morning, so I've had to adjust the songs at the last minute, so you won't have any lyrics over there on the wall or on the screen. So I've picked some songs that I think you'll remember and that you'll be familiar with. So sing them out, okay? It's camp meeting songs.
I was sinking deep in sin,
far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with it, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. 'Cause love lifted me, when love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, when love lifted me. I know when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, all my heart to him I, ever to him I'll cling, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, my love so mighty and so true, merits, merits my soul's best song. Faithful loving service to, faithful loving service to him be. Lifted me, I know love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, I know his love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Well, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood? In the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Oh, are you? In the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Last verse of souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lead you by his grace out of the angry waves, out of the angry waves. Love so mighty and so true, love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful loving service to him belongs. So take it up here. Love lifted me. Lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Well, his love lifted me. Oh, when nothing else could help. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Take joy, my King, in what you
get the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. I'll have a better update on the budget tonight, but we are still pressing forward with the budget. We have some air conditioners to fix in here too, so that's another need, another concern. Just remember in prayer during this time of focused prayer for Miss Carol, who I guess is not feeling well. I'm not sure what the deal is. And how many of you know someone that you've been praying for because they are ill and could use a healing? Yes, pretty much all of us. Mrs. Connor, let's pray for her. Let's pray for Claire Arlington. That came out as Mr. Duke passed away earlier this year. Let's pray for her as she is going through that loss. Let's pray for Alice Dom as she continues to go through that loss of Mr. Jim, and she's going through some health issues herself, so let's pray for her. But let's keep lifting each other up and encouraging each other. The camp's getting long, folks are getting tired, but we're going to finish strong. Amen. Miss Ellen Bailey, would you mind praying for the offering this morning?
I've enjoyed getting to know Jay Frazier this week a little bit. He even gave me a ride on his golf cart today, and we had a chance to talk a little bit more. We have a common friend in Jim Cimbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and I appreciate both Jay and Dr. Cimbala so much, Reverend Cimbala so much, because of the effect that he's having in his church. And I know Jay, I know your church must be phenomenal. But because your heart is so tender and you have been so real in your messages, and I appreciate that, and I know that draws people to Jesus. But 9/11 happened, okay, in 2001, September 11th, 2001, and I was supposed to be up in the Boston area in a radio conference up there, the Christian radio station that's in that Cape Cod area. And up there with me was Jim Cimbala's daughter and her husband. And we went to the conference. This was 4 days after 9/11 happened. Now, it happened on a Tuesday, and this was Friday and Saturday. And I had to drive because there were no flights flying yet. And so Penny and I had driven up there together, and we drove far, far, far around New York City. I didn't want to be anywhere close to New York City when all of that was happening. And I thought, we'll come back the other way through Pennsylvania, too. We won't go around by New York. Don't you know that I sang this next song that I'm going to sing? I sang it at that conference because I felt, as I watched those videos of the people coming out of those buildings and the uncertainty of what was happening, and Susan, their Jim Cimbala's daughter, was sharing some of the things that happened at the church and at the Twin Towers. And so she said, I talked to my dad, would you come and sing that song at the Brooklyn Tabernacle 4 days after 9/11? I still didn't want to go there. But I've always wanted to sing at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And I said, Lord, you've got a sense of humor. And so I just very naively drove into Penny was driving. And I said, well, as we get close, I won't make you drive through New York City, and we'll swap drivers. We'll just pull over. If you've driven that, there's no place to pull over and change drivers when you get into New York. So you have guardrails and you have lanes. And so every piece of concrete is used to try to move traffic. And so poor little Penny, she had to drive, you know, our Suburban into downtown Brooklyn. And they greeted us. And let me tell you, people were lined up around the block and down the probably a half a mile long. I'm not exaggerating. People to come to the third service of that day. And I went in there and I being asked to sing this song, and it was electric. It was the most exciting church service I've ever been in. You would simply say words, and then you'd get more than that back, because people were living in the rejoicing of answered prayers for that day, and people who were supposed to be in the building and weren't, but there were still people missing from the church, and they still didn't know. But the song that they asked for, I thought, this was a song I recorded because when I was a teenager, an old gray-haired man would stand up and sing these words, and tears would run down his face. And I thought, it must be an old people thing, those people crying. And then I lived some life, and I realized the truth that is in these lyrics. And I thought of you this morning, Jay, as I was running over this song. But you've been called to a place to live what you preach through the sorrow of losing your daughter. And so I don't know what you're going through, but I know there's truth in this song. And I know no matter what you're going through, that Jesus will walk through it with you. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long, sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children along. And sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrow befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children alone. So he calls us to this. My friend, away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And some through great sorrow, but God, he gives a song in the night season and all the day long. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. Or his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he his dear children alone.
Amen.
Thanks, Brian. Wow. I know what to say. I just don't know if I can say it. So, I told you at the beginning of the week, or our time together, it's been over a week, or about a week today, but I just had a peace knowing that I got to walk, and I mean this, I'm not just using words, that I got to walk in Doug Carter's shadow the last week. I felt was an honor and a privilege that God had ordained before the foundations of the world. I believe it with everything about me. A lot of times you go places and you don't really knit with people. And sometimes even flesh can get involved about it. But I knew that was a no problem whatsoever. Then I met Brian. And the only problem I have with Brian is he gets up here and sings and then it's like a letdown with a sermon. I could just sit there all day long. And then he shares that kind of stuff and tears me all up because it's exactly the truth of what you said. Last night I came to the service. I took notes. First, I didn't have my pen with me. I like to still take notes. And so I had to take out my phone. And so I started, I have a couple of apps that you can put notes on. And so I started doing Brother Doug's notes of his points. In the middle of his sermon, just the Spirit of God just came on me. It was so much I couldn't even tell my family about it last night. Zane wanted to make sure I was okay after church. And I couldn't even cut up with him, which is a rarity. But Brother Doug brought out a letter. Began to read that letter. When he began to read the letter, there's two or three times he said in that letter, "This pain is for his glory." I sense the Lord clearly speak to me. If he's ever spoken to my heart, and he said to my heart, "Your pain is for my glory." And I wrestled with it. I said, I don't want this pain. But then the Lord said something else. He said, and this is just in my heart. He said, "I cannot complete what I want to do in you without your full surrender." Some through the water, some through the flood. Some with great sorrow, but all through the blood. I wondered, Brother Wayne, yesterday, that was so different a sermon. I felt like in the how well it went, I felt like I failed. That's what I felt when I walked out this door. But I said, "God, I know I asked you," and that's what came to mind, and that's what I shared. It felt like it was, in my mind, it was all over the place. It wasn't packaged the way I package a sermon. Like we're in control anyway. But then today, it all makes sense. You cannot operate in full surrender if it's not under the blood. You cannot, where I want to go today, you cannot operate in full surrender if you allow flesh to rule and reign. And I appreciate what Brother Doug said. Brother Doug, I got to confess, there have been times in the holiness message where I felt like it's not been told accurately. I struggled, grew up around it. Tim Thomas, one of my lifelong friends, is here as a pastor, phenomenal pastor, doing a great work in Milledgeville, Georgia. In the shadow of his dad that God took home many years ago, and I know he's proud. If they can see over here, I know there's a lot of pride that he has in Tim, and I'm honored to call him my friend and co-worker in Christ. But you know, I think about their times that, and I'm just confessing now, don't get too mad because I've only got two sermons left, okay? So don't get too mad. I waited to maybe the Lord, I don't know. But here's what I would say. There's times that I struggled when people talked about holiness, but then they acted like the devil. I mean, I struggled with that as a teenager. I've been in a holiness denomination my whole life, practically. And people talked about holiness, and I formed a saying, and here it is. Sometimes our holiness has holes in it. It's like it doesn't add up. You talk about loving people or loving God. Like I talked about the horizontal, is that all of a sudden, obviously you get around the wrong person and the whatever issue and something doesn't work. And I mean, I struggled with that for years, and I found out that it's in the arena of surrender. It's in the arena that same blood stuff, the same blood that God shed for me, he shed for them. And the moment that I start thinking God understands, he doesn't. And we need to be grown up spiritually enough to admit that so that we can get some resolve to it, okay? But I'm telling you, God was very real. There's a peace because I know God's in it, but it sure does hurt. It sure does hurt. And I hurt for my wife. I hurt for my other daughter. I hurt for my son. I hurt for a young man by the name of Carson, and that lost the love of his life. And every chance he gets, he goes by a cemetery and spends time with Mallory. I would tell you to do this. Every time you'll pray for me, don't pray for me, pray for him. I'm going to be okay. But heart breaks. So this is what I know. I do. Last night, and I appreciate that, Brother Doug. I know God used you. I know it was of God. If nobody else says that, it was of God last night. Because God clearly once again said, out of my pain, your pain that you're experiencing is for my glory. If I just operate in the flesh, I could say to God, I don't like that, not one bit. So I don't know what the Lord, and I'll ask you to pray because we're winding down. I'll have more, finality tomorrow. But, when you pray, I don't know. I'm so messed up, it's not even, but I remember what someone said one time. We was on a mission trip, and the youth pastor, and it was just 700 or 800 youth at this event that we went to. And this individual said, she's actually the head youth pastor of this church, and she was the pastor's wife. I'll never forget it. She said this. She said, we so want God to mess your life up that you can't put it back together again. And I think God's well on the way of really messing my life up and our life up that we can't put it back together again. And whatever that looks like, we'll walk in obedience. I don't know. I want to be lighthearted for a minute. Can I? I feel like I'm swimming upstream and taking on water at the same time. But I want to be lighthearted. First, I want to come and apologize to the president, Brother Wayne. That was just jest. I was in no, there was exaggeration. It wasn't 17 announcements. It was 15. I'm sorry. I was just going to tell you that. Secondly, Brother Doug, I can't blame them today. They gave it to me quickly. So if we get long-winded here today, I'm on my own. I'm sinking. I know Brother Doug will go with me because he knows how to sink in that world too. But I'm not by myself. He's going to love me through it. But I do want to. Wayne, I love you. I appreciate your heart. I do. Just in front of people, you can tell you got him. And, you're crazy, Saloon, but you're okay. And then I want to tell you, when I told it this morning and I thought about it, we have banana pudding tonight after service? Real banana pudding. Not communist kind. Huh? Is it really going to be like in the oven kind of banana pudding? Is it going to be like wafers, vanilla pudding, and bananas? Well, years ago at Bethel Church, I told a story about banana pudding. And I called it. I said, these folks should just go get some wafers and vanilla pudding and bananas and put it in a bowl and stir it up and call it banana pudding. First off, they don't know Jesus. Secondly, I called it communist banana pudding. And that, Lord, sort of fell. So it was one of those, Brother Doug can tell you, other preachers here, you ride it if it's a good one. So I go down to South Georgia for a revival. Right in the middle of the revival, I start talking about having something real and fresh with the Lord. And I said, let me tell you something. The most real and fresh thing that I ever known as far as dessert is a banana pudding. And I said, not like that communist kind that people make. I said, they go get vanilla pudding and they get bananas and they get wafers and they mix them together and then they call it banana pudding. They ought to be ashamed. That's sinful. There's no way you know Jesus and do all that. And so I had the best time at this revival. Everybody laughed and everybody, they were just on time. I just loved it, preacher. You're talking about banana pudding and all that. Well, I don't know if you remember in the day, and it's sort of gone away. They still do it somewhat in the South. If you're a Northerner, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But you go eat all the time. Tim, Brother Wendell, when I first started, one of the first revivals he did for me, and he came out of his back room in the parsonage where I was living. I wasn't even married yet. And Brother Wendell came out, and he said, Brother Jay, if you're going to be anything for the cause of Christ, you got to have one of these. You got to have this. I thought he was going to get me a Bible or some kind of commentary or something, and it was an Alka-Seltzer. Never forget it. I didn't know what that meant then. When I was young, I could eat, and just eat for 3 or 4 people. Well, I understand what he's talking about now. You go to these revivals in the South, and they line it up. They'll stand in the pulpit and say, now, has everybody signed up? and they got lunch and supper. It's true, isn't it, Brother Doug? Every meal they have somebody. And then if they like you, Brother Brian, they'll people come up and say, I'm going to take you to breakfast in the morning. And they'll say something like, I'm going to pick you up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Then you got to eat at 12. And I mean, you go to a big spread somewhere, and then you eat at 12. And then you got to turn around, you got to eat at 5 because the service starts at 7. I mean, you're eating like a pig. You think they're fixing to slaughter me, I'm eating so much. You know what I'm talking about. The preachers in the room know exactly what I'm talking about. And after 3 or 4 days of that, you better have an Alka-Seltzer. Brother Wendell was prophetic. He knew exactly what he was telling me. So I tell this story about communist banana pudding and this church in South Georgia. And the next day, I'm going to a lady's house to eat. The pastor comes by, picks me up. We go to this house. And sure enough, when we sit down, she had a spread like Sunday morning. I mean, like Sunday go to meeting kind of thing. Dinner on the ground. We eat and we eat and we eat. And finally she said, Brother Jay, you ready for dessert? And I said, well, yes, ma'am. Probably the biggest lie I've told. No, not really, but yes, okay. And she brings out the prettiest thing on a dish of communist banana pudding that you've ever seen. I looked at it and went, that ain't the real thing. And look, she said, this is what she said. She laid around the side of the chair from me and she put it in front of me. And she said, Brother Jay, I'm sorry after what you preached last night, but she said, this is all I have. And I felt so low. One person said, I felt so low I could sit on the edge of a piece of toilet paper and swing my legs. You hear me? I felt low. I started and trying to get out of it. Ma'am, it's just a preacher story. You know, I like it. I don't like it as much as the other, but, you know, I was just making it more. And she, the whole time I'm doing it, she is just drilling me with it. She said, well, I'm sorry. That's all I have. And I don't know how to make the other kind, but that's all I had. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. And I'm hurting now trying to get out of it. I'm thinking I've just killed this revival. Come to find out, she just left it with me. She let it just chew on me. I go to the church, and I found out when she walked out of church the night before, she was the cut-up of the church. She said, the evangelist is coming to my house tonight. I'm leaving right now and going to the grocery store, and I'm getting all the ingredients to a communist banana pudding. And she said, I'm going to fix that young evangelist tomorrow at lunch. And let me tell you something, she fixed me. She fixed me. So we're having banana pudding, and we don't know whether it's American or communist, but we'll find out tonight, right? Let me switch gears. Very serious subject today. There's so many people that think they're living the spiritual life, and in actuality, they're living a fleshly life. You know, I could go the route of holiness unto the Lord. I could go different denominations and theology. I just want to talk about everyday life. I really do. In Galatians chapter 5, if you have a copy of God's Word, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and then 24 and 25. It's going to be our text today. If you're able, would you stand with us in honor of God's Word? Also, I forgot to mention, my dentist came all the way from Thomaston, Georgia. He's retired now, but Dr. William Gardner is here, and dear friend, there's very few people I let stick their hands in my mouth, but he was one of them, all right? And Doc, I'm glad you're here today. I appreciate you coming, you and Tim as well. All right, verse number 16 through 18, and then 24 and 25, Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then look at verse number 24 and 25. And the reason I skipped is just a big list of those things that are described, and you can read them for yourself. But verse number 24 and 25 says this, now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. Would you use us? I thank you. I already sensed your presence here today. And I know you're God, and I'm not. Holy Spirit, we depend on you. Would you do what you desire? I know how you've led us here. Would we bring glory and honor to you in all that we do? And most of all, obedience would be, Lord, in this place, very evident as we obey you. For we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And it's amazing sometimes. And I say amazing, but God's God. Brother Doug, as I've sat in for a good bit of the Bible study, it's been going right along with this. In Genesis 1:27, God made human beings in his image. When they were created, they didn't have a sinful nature. Adam and Eve are the two people that have ever been on the face of the earth that know what God intended for it to be like. Now, I don't want to regress. I don't want to get into emotions, but one of the things that has kept us, and I say that because Suzanne and I've had this conversation, I've been on a journey. I've read probably 600 or maybe even 700 pages now of different books of people that have written different descriptions and what's going on right now in the celestial. Not the new earth, not New Jerusalem and all that. That can get very confusing. But you know why, as a parent, I want to know what's going on with my daughter. That came out of that. But I've been very intrigued that we think we know what it's going to be like. I just did something wrong. We know what it's going to be like. What in the world did I do?
Sounds like it's really broken. Hey, turn this one on right here. I will stay behind it. When y'all see me move, go, get back to the thing. But Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, the only two. Wow. By Genesis 3, they disobeyed God by doing what he said not to do. And I'll remind you that. Some people think that's just a flippant thing of God wants us to be obedient. But God also sees the end. He knew much of the stuff, all the stuff that we deal with today is the product of a fallen person and a fallen humanity. It's amazing. And I think we miss that. Sometimes we want to rebel. We want to say, well, mom and dad don't know. Who does the pastor think he is? Why does the school teacher give us all that homework? You know, we won't naturally, because of our fallen state, we rebel. But why is it rebellion? It's because we're fallen. We have a sinful nature. And because of Adam's sin, we're reminded, Paul did some great writing in Romans chapter 5, where because of Adam's sin, that sin has been passed down to all of us. And we have been corrupted, and therefore we have, by definition, all have a sinful nature. I said it this way before, the sinful nature is the cause of all human sins, and humans are born with it. There's not one. Brother Doug started that about Kobe and Zane's baby, and I thought, wow. And it was so clear that even when we look at it and all we see is innocence, there's still a nature there. But there's people that believe different things in the covering, and we're accountable when we're responsible and we understand, and I'm there. But think about it. We're all fallen. I've always said, if you go to the nursery at the church, you don't see much sanctification. You don't see much holiness in the nursery. I've never seen a child come in this world saying, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. No. They came in the world with that nature. That's when you see it out. That's my toy. Those are my Cheerios. Those are my goldfish. Whatever, it's amazing. George Whitefield said it, one of the founders of Methodism, he said it this way, true repentance will entirely change you. The bias of your souls will be changed. There will be delight in God, delight in Christ, delight in his law, and delight in his people. You show me somebody today that professes Christ, and they're always trying to get away from the church. They're always trying to get away from church people. They're always trying to get away from morals. They're always trying to get away. I wonder, have they really been there? Wow. I think along those lines, spiritual living, spirit living versus fleshly lives. When I think about this conflict, and it is. Brother Doug, I thought when I came in a little late today, and I thought I didn't sit down good, and he said it. And I thought, man, we're spot on. And I really thought about some of you that didn't come to the Bible study. It must not be for you, because if Brother Doug said it then, and then I'm saying it now, God wants you to really get it. I don't know what that means. Two times, the same thing. I thought about this conflict that goes on within us. And again, in holiness sometimes, we say, well, God sanctifies you, and you commit, and you're fully surrendered. Then the devil's not going to do anything anymore. I've always thought of it this way. It's then when you see the enemy in his fullness. Because the last thing he wants us to do is succeed in our Christian experience before we get to heaven. What do you think about it? So this conflict between flesh and spirit. I did a thing. I've studied it out in the Word of God. And hey, I'll pat myself on the back. But I was really intrigued by how much is in the Word of God about spirit versus flesh. If you go back and look at the text, there's times that it was a capital S, and then there's another time it's a small S. It's pretty neat. And I just encourage you to go back and read, if it does, to look in the Scripture and see the difference between operating in the spirit versus operating in the flesh. I call it a conflict. I've been praying this for a couple of years, and it's still a prayer of mine. Is this, God, today I want my spiritual nature to win over my sinful nature. It's still there. That's one of those product things that I pray. God, today I want you to make me aware of when I start stepping out of the spiritual nature into the sinful nature. God, help me know that. That sinful nature is crucified, but can it resurrect itself if I allow it to? Yes, it can. That's some of the struggle I had in the holiness movement, is that some of those things, when you start seeing it and applying it in Scripture, is it surrendered? Is it committed? Yes. But can I regress? Yes. So we have to stay there. So here I want to talk about the conflict for a few minutes. First is the war. It's a war. We need to get this, church. Brother Doug hit on it today. This thing of, it's just going to be easy. I'm not just talking about where we are. I'm talking about every one of our lives. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, it's going to be a war. Amen? Y'all still with me? I don't refer to the last days of camp. I want God to do something for us right here. I can sum it up real quick for you. Paul summed up his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4. One of the characteristics of it, he said, I fought a good fight. How about that? You know, we would probably discipline our children when they were small. They talked about fighting everybody. Think about it. But yet Paul summed up the Christian experience, his walk with God, his life of commitment as a fight. I have fought a good fight. I don't know if we view it that way today. Have we become so insulated? Maybe I need to go at another approach here. Have we become so insulated? I heard somebody say one time about us four and no more. About 2 years ago in my life, maybe three now, we were having staff meeting and God had been moving my heart. And I said, I just want to share my heart. Y'all can own it if you'd like. But I said, I want to ask you a question. There's seven of us in the room. And I said, I want to ask you, how many lost friends do you have? And of course, it got quiet. They didn't understand what I was talking about. And I said, where God's been hanging out in my life, I said, I'm not really making myself available. I'm not really building bridges and sowing seed to people who don't know the Lord. We become this holy huddle in our life a lot of times. And even Jesus himself can't get in. We're so protected. But how many people are we affecting? You didn't come to hear Mallory's testimony, but you're going to get a little bit of it right here. It just comes to mind. I was blown away after her passing. Person after person that she affected. I have my phone. I don't even know why I brought it to the pulpit. Please don't call me, okay? But this is what I know. I have a text from Carson. I mentioned Carson all ago. He said, Mr. J, on the text. He said, Mr. J, I just want you to know, I'm going to keep living it. Because Mallory led me to him. I'm not going to quit now. That's pretty good stuff, right? I don't know how many people dating somebody. Mallory had said it. He don't get it right. He's going to get left somewhere. That was that. And what I'm going to share with you is we got to realize that if I insulate myself all the time with people that know Christ, then I'm not going to affect the dying and the lost and the dying in much of a way. And I'm not saying put yourself in a place where you're going to compromise your morals, but somewhere we got to realize that we are salt and light. And the Scripture doesn't say you can be salt if you want to, and you can be light if you want to. It says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And if we are, then we're supposed to be affecting other people for the cause of the kingdom. It's a fight, folks. If we're going to be light in the dark world that we live in, the world I know that I live in and I know you live in it, is there awareness today that it is a fight? We are in a war. And today I would say if that's not resonating with you, maybe we need to check up. Maybe we've moved off of center somewhat and that off of center has become normal and God would arrest our soul to the point and get us back to where we need to be so that we brightly shine in the world that we live in. I got to move on. Secondly, this characteristic of this conflict, it's also about will. It's one thing to say, okay, we're in this battle. It's another thing when you get up in the morning. You know, not only is it a war, but it's also work. It's our occupation in Christ, this will thing. People think God's just going to blindly bless them because they're made of his image or they're human or they're American. It's not like that. You remember the scripture Malachi 3:10 where it talks about that if you'll pay and give, you know, out of your resources, that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there wouldn't be room to receive it. God's will for us is to be committed to him. I wrote this down, and I've heard this saying years ago. It said, the windows of heaven are shut if you have to shut yours at home. Nobody got it. Brian, did you get that one? The windows of heaven are shut if you have to shut yours at home. Did you get it then, Brian? It made sense, didn't it? Somehow or another, we think the blessings of God are going to come to our life. Well, I'll tell you something. The blessings of God come to our life as he rewards and blesses us for blessing him. See, that's where I think we miss it. I think sometimes we just think God blindly blesses us. You say like this. Let me give you this. I'll move on. Because some of you are looking at me like a bull at a new gate. You know, it's like this in my walk. I truly think that it was like I referred to it in one of the other sermons. We think that of rewarding in heaven. God's going to bless us because we've hurt in this life. You know, I told you I've read all the New Testament in just the last 2.5 months. And you know what I found out about this belief and trust and things of that sort? Do you know what I'm going to be rewarded in heaven? Is when I am taken to task for his sake, not Jay's life. Not because I've suffered in this life. Not because there was a low time. I'm going to be blessed of God and rewarded by God. It's in there, by the way. The rewards I'm going to get for heaven is not when I've had a bad day. It's when I've glorified him in the midst of the bad day. And when somebody says, yeah, I don't like that. And I know it might surprise some of you. But I've had people that don't go to church anymore. I don't want it that straight, Brother Doug. I got one couple I love dearly. They were great friends of mine in Mississippi. Thought they were for 2 or 3 years. And it got back third person. I ended up having a conversation about it. Because they said, we just don't want it that straight. And you know, I'm not here to judge, but I'll just tell you what I think. They found them one of the deadest churches you could go to. Social clubs. They go to church all the time. But they don't want it straight. We got to be reminded today that not only is it a war, but this conflict is God's will. And it's work. I remember I love one of my favorite books, maybe my favorite book that John Maxwell ever wrote to me, that I read that appealed to me. And there's been some good ones. I love Running with the Giants. I love all those. But my favorite, 21 Laws of Leadership were just phenomenal, still are, still is. But maybe my favorite book is Failing Forward. I love the premise. Today, the rest of this sermon, I might fail in something. I might forget to say something I need to say or something. Whatever. In my humanity, just mess it up. Emotion went over or something. But I'll tell you one thing. God knows my heart right now. It's 100%. I might fail today. I might fall short. But I'm going to fall toward him. I'm going to fail toward him and not away from him. Do y'all understand the difference? When somebody falls from grace and somebody falls into mess in their life and they've looked at God and said, I don't want it anymore and I'm going to go do my own thing. That's totally different than somebody's trying to live the Christian life and they struggle or they fail or they have an issue that they have to deal with. Brother Doug said it again. We're not perfect. We're not here telling people that they're perfect. But the scripture alludes to that we're striving unto perfection. Think about that. So it's a war. It's also a will. One more. And I like this. It leads into tomorrow. I can't wait. It's also about winning. It's about winning. Wow. Some of you didn't come to hear. Miss Lynn came up to me, Lynn McCants. I did get her name right this time. I didn't say who she was married to. I'll leave that alone. Miss Lynn came up to me yesterday and said, how's your nephew doing? I said, Miss Lynn, there's been two different times I thought about mentioning something that would refer to my nephew, talk about how I'm tied to Bethel Church many years ago. 22 to be exact, 22, 23 years ago, my nephew was hit by a van out in front of the parsonage of Bethel Church. He lived. He has paralysis in his face, and he lives in Alabama with his mom and dad, much like we are today with Zane. But I told Miss Lynn, I said, if I got up and told that story and then followed that story up with Zane, and then I followed up that January and February I lost both my parents, and then God called Mallory home in the middle of April. Y'all would wonder if I was damaged goods. I mean, we got us a Job or a Jonah story going on somewhere here. But I've come to tell you, God never promised us. He didn't make one promise on this side that it was going to be roses. Not one. Do I like any of that I just sort of chuckled about? Not one bit of it. When Stephen was hit by that van and he was out in the road and we were waiting for them to come, I remember one of the first things I said to the Lord, why my house? Why me? I've asked that a lot. Not in being mad, but wondering what in the world's going on. Are we just haphazard and we're not taking care of things? But I've come to tell you this. And all of that mire and all of those issues and all those things we walk through in this life, and it seems like we're working up a pretty good resume of it for whatever reason. I want to tell you, one day we win. One day, I had a friend of mine said, one day the horn's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Huh? We need a reminder today, as a child of God, we go through it. And we always talk about the three Hebrew children, they come to mind. You know, sometimes we just think, oh, people just had blind faith. They knew God was going to deliver them. I said I was going to stay behind the microphone, didn't I? And that's not what they said. They said, be it known to thee, O king, that our God is able to deliver us. But if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow down to your low-down self. That was my loosely translated version. We win. You know what's buoyed us through, and we'll continue to? Is we win. Peter was winning. So that's the part of Peter I like. All them other jokers didn't want to get out on the water, walk like Jesus. Peter did. How about all them other cats that were back in the boat? Well, come on, Peter, I've been waiting on this. Come on. Can't you hear Jesus say that? All the stuff you see Jesus do. Can't you see Jesus say, I'm just waiting on you guys? If you'll just believe. I told you I got a New Testament full of every time it says believe. You just believe. God's got more for us. There Peter is. He gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water with the Lord. And I love the verse that said he looked at the winds. How about that? Don't you know sometimes that we are defeated and we're looking at stuff that you can't even see? How many times you got worked up about somebody wanting to talk to you, somebody wanting to meet you, something you had to do the next day, and you can't even rest at night because you're wrestling with that thing. And then when you go through it, you look back on it and go, that wasn't nothing. I just lost sleep. I've had an indigestion. I hadn't been able to eat. My stomach's all torn up. And when you get to the other side of it, see, it wasn't half of what I thought it was going to be. I've got great news for you. One day we win. One day we win. And the great news in the Holy Spirit, we win today. You allow him to. All right. I want to end with a story. Brother Doug has alluded to it a couple of times, and I said, if he walks all over this story again, I'm not going to be able to use it. Can you turn to Matthew chapter 16? Matthew chapter number 16. It's going to be a lengthy reading, but I want to show you something. Brother Doug mentioned it about two or three nights back, and I want to share with you and extract some things out, and I'll be done, okay? This flesh versus spirit. I told you I studied it out in the Word of God. It is amazing. Listen to me very carefully. Today, you and I have the opportunity, because of what God did for us all the way through our sanctification, all the way through holiness, all the way through the Lordship of Christ, we have the opportunity to operate in the Spirit today. Been there and done that. But listen to me very carefully. And there might be some people that disagree with this, but I can show it to you in the Word of God, and you're going to see it in a story here in just a minute. Did you know today that Jay Frazier could operate in the flesh too? Today. Today I can set all of the mantle, I can set aside all these things that God has done for me, and I can operate in Jay. And I want to show you an occasion that happened to Peter and put the time context on it. And it's just amazing, and it speaks volumes to us today. Verse number 13 of Matthew 16, he says this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, I'll get it out in a minute. He was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah and one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood, there it is, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Your intellect, your knowledge, your education, your educational experience didn't reveal this to you. All your fleshly experiences didn't reveal to you, but my Father who is in heaven, spiritual living. Okay, watch this now. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You ever wonder sometimes if we're living beneath our privileges when you read that verse? Any amens in the house or oh me's? From that time on, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Watch this now. Jesus took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it. How about this now? Watch this now. The wording. God forbid it, Lord. Brother Doug, I heard a long time ago, he wants to be your Lord, but once you say no, you cannot say no, Lord, because once you say the word no, he's no longer your Lord. That's how quickly it can happen. It's good stuff. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. To who? To me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. I've done the research on this. Some believe it was no more than 30 minutes. Peter went from the head of the classroom with a star on his paper, the teacher's pet. He always gets the answers right. Look at Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father's in heaven. Jesus began to talk about the crucifixion and how he was going to hurt and he was going to pay redemption's debt. All the description there. Can you imagine this now? I have a hard time wrapping my mind around this. I got a feeling that Peter probably grabbed him by the arm and said, come over here. And I don't think it was, Jesus, I want to talk to you. Can you come over here? I think he pulled him off to the side. He said, I will never let that happen to you. Well, preacher, what point are you making? Every day of our life. Remember I said that prayer I pray? God, I want my spiritual nature to win over my sinful nature. That sinful nature, Brother Doug said this morning in the Bible study, that sinful nature is never leaving until we take our last breath in this life. So you got to deal with it. Now the Holy Spirit allows us. He empowers us. I can show you that in the scripture. The Holy Spirit is such in our life that we can be victorious over it. See, I struggle every time somebody comes up with this theology. You're going to sin in thought, word, and deed every day. And I go, there's potential there. But if that's the case, why would God inspire John to write, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not? Why would he put sin not in there if I can't do it? Just saying, when you're a student of God's word, it's got to make sense. And you know what makes sense? It makes sense that God did more for me on the cross than the devil did in the garden with Adam and Eve. God empowers us through his spirit for us to live the life that brings glory and honor to him. Okay, so okay, Brother Jeff, appreciate all that, but how do you do it? You surrender. We've already sung it one time this week. You don't surrender almost. You don't surrender some. You don't surrender a little bit. You don't surrender when you get in a tight. You surrender all. And then tomorrow, guess what you got to do tomorrow? You got to surrender again. But I believe it. I think I bear out this testimony. When you surrender things to the Lord, if you keep doing it for a while, the devil will start leaving you alone in that area. He might go somewhere else. But when he doesn't have the product, he didn't get any kind of product from what you're doing, then he'll leave you alone. So that's where we are. So the whole idea is this. Wow. It is impossible for people to see Jesus in my life when I'm operating in the flesh. Jesus went so far when he was teaching and said the flesh is the enemy of God. Now watch this, we struggle, and I think I can be loud enough. It doesn't change that much. But I think you struggle with that. But what are you saying? Are you saying I'm of the enemy? No, I'm saying when we operate in the flesh, then all of a sudden we've tied the hands of God of what he can do in our life. We got to live in the Spirit so the Spirit can operate in our life the way he wants to. And I fear sometimes, and I'm not here to do church work, but I would dare say in almost 40 years of ministry and not out to get anybody because I've done it too. There have been times that we've operated in the flesh and we've called it spirit. And I can give you a great indication of that. If you wouldn't want somebody else to say it about you, you wouldn't want somebody else to do it to you, then you don't need to do it. So if I go on and do that in my walk with God, then what I'm doing, I'm choosing. I'm still in the spirit, bless God, but I'm operating in the flesh because I'm going against what God's word tells me to do. You follow me? And I can come up with a lot more of that, but we got to leave it alone for time's sake. But I want to ask you today, I just want to encourage you, if you want to come to the altar, that's great. If not, it's great to you can deal with the Lord in this. Make this your prayer because it's changed my life. I've been doing it for a couple of years. Lord, I want my spiritual nature to win over my sinful nature. Wayne, I've had times when I've been going through something, all of a sudden I draw breath to say something. I'm going to take a thought or whatever. Catch myself in a temptation moment. I can sense the Spirit of God going, spiritual nature. You know, alert, spiritual nature. You're fixing to step into that other one. Again, I think sometimes we've left people that God can do something for you and you don't even have to worry about being tempted anymore. Let me tell you when that's going to happen. That's going to happen when you see him face to face. Until then, we operate in that premise that the spiritual nature can win over our sinful nature as we stay yielded and surrendered to the Lord. And I just want to bring something. Maybe you have a fleshly thing. Maybe it's somebody. I process a lot of stuff in my life. Right, if you get ready, whatever you're going to sing, you do it. But the Christian life can be boiled down to this thought, I'll be done. It's a conflict whether I'm going to live a spiritual life, if I'm going to live in the spirit, the context of the text, or else I'm going to live a fleshly life. And I don't know if there's a greater indictment to the child of God is when we live a fleshly life and we're trying to show it as spirit. That's at least tough, if not more. And I'm just going to ask you today, I'm going to let you remain seated where you are. As Brian sings for us, you just want to pray about something, we give you that opportunity at God's altar today. All right? Brian? Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart, 'cause you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense and my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Now, where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. 'Cause holiness is Christ in me. Oh, where you are, Lord, I am. 'Cause holiness is Christ in me. Sing it with me. Lord, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, because I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Because because I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Sing it, church. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you every hour. Every hour. I need you, my one defense, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. God, how I need you.
Father God, we do need you every day. And I thank you that when we turn to you, we can find hope and strength. And Father, I thank you for this morning's message and the reminder to feed the Spirit. And kill the flesh. Daily kill the flesh. We surrender all to you. Take it and use us as you see fit. Bless this food to our bodies. And our bodies in turn to your service. So that as holy and surrendered followers of Christ, we can continue your mission in this world to spread that hope and that love to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.